What great words in this hymn of the faith tonight. Footsteps of Jesus. I particularly like that second stanza. It says, though they lead through the cold, dark mountains, seeking his sheep, or along by Siloam's fountains, helping the weak, footprints of Jesus that make the pathway glow, we will follow the steps of Jesus where'er they go. Amen. Praise the Lord. I'm so glad you're following the steps of Jesus tonight. You're in God's house. Praise the Lord. Grab our Bibles and let's open up to the book of Colossians. I've got an announcement to make tonight, church, that you can pass on to others that aren't present tonight. That is, 2 weeks from tonight, we will be beginning a brand new book of the Bible. As you know, Wednesday nights are reserved for exegetical, expositional teaching and preaching of God's Word, verse by verse, book by book. Amen? And next week, we're going to finish Colossians chapter 4. So we'll be beginning a new book the following week, and that would be the book of Jude. Oh, you're in for some treats, beloved. The book of Jude contains some glorious truths that will really rock your spiritual socks. So be prepared for that. It's going to be a great, great time. Yeah, that would be 2 weeks from tonight. We'll be starting the book of Jude. Great stuff. Okay, the book of Jude, by the way, little preview for you. The book of Jude is like a mini revelation. It's got everything in there. It's got the second advent. It's got the Nephilim in there. I mean, it's got it all, boy. It's got the great white throne judgment. The book of Jude is an amazing portion of scripture. Colossians chapter 4 tonight, beloved. How many of you knows that in God's word, there are no filler words? Amen? God does not waste space in his Bible. In other words, every word of scripture is inspired by God's Spirit and is profitable. So the portion of scripture we're covering tonight and next week, some pastors actually skip over this. And they miss out on blessings because God has, as you'll see tonight, God has blessings for us. Remain seated tonight. We don't want to overwork you, church. Colossians chapter 4, we'll be covering verses 5 through 11 tonight. And then next week, 12 through 18. In Colossians chapter 4, look with me at verse number 5. Verse number 5. The Bible says, walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that ye may know how ye ought to answer every man. All my state shall Tychicus declare unto you, who is a beloved brother, and a faithful minister, and a fellow servant in the Lord, whom I have sent unto you for the same purpose, that he might know your estate and comfort your hearts, with Onesimus, a faithful and beloved brother, who is one of you. They shall make known unto you all things which are done here. Aristarchus, my fellow prisoner, saluteth you, and Marcus, sister's son to Barnabas, touching whom ye received commandments, if he come unto you, receive him. And Jesus, which is called Justice, who are of the circumcision, these only are my fellow workers unto the kingdom of God, which have been a comfort unto me. Praise the Lord. Let's pray. Father in heaven, how we thank you for these precious verses of Holy Writ. Lord, I'm so glad that at this church, we don't skim over scriptures. We don't pass over words of God, for they are profitable unto us. We thank you, Lord God, that these incredible verses we're covering tonight and next week speak of servants of the Lord and their faithfulness therein. Father, we're thankful that by their godly examples, we today, as we see the approach of the Lord Jesus Christ coming so quickly, we are encouraged to be faithful, to serve you, to cleave to you like never before, because the days are evil, O God. The devil is working, and we need to be closer to Jesus than we've ever been before. Lord, I thank you for your word tonight and ask your blessing upon it, Holy Spirit of God. We ask it in Jesus' precious name and for his sake. Amen. 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 Beloved, as Paul approaches the end of his epistle here in chapter 4 to the church at Colossae, he lovingly exhorts the believers in the area of Christian etiquette. And surely we can feel in his heart, his heartfelt love and care for those to whom he ministers at Colossians in these verses. Let me give you a few things here, maybe five, eight, quickly. First of all, observe his charge to the believers in verse 5. He issues a charge. Verse 5, walk in wisdom toward them that are without. Now, Paul is saying here in verse 5, beloved, that as we interact with the lost of this world, we need to remember that how we act before them may dictate whether or not we get a chance to witness to them. In many cases, amen, sister, praise the Lord, come right in. In many cases, beloved, you and I have to earn the opportunity to witness to a lost soul. Like, let me give you an example. Some guys I work with at GE, some of the other security guards, they know, they call me the bishop, they know I'm a preacher. I've got to go out of my way to be extra nice to these guys. Why? I don't want to ruin my opportunity to share the love of my Jesus with them. Amen? So I've got to keep that door open because you don't know. Mike gave testimony a while back about somebody at work he was able to witness to because he had been a good testimony to the guy, you know? And this is what Paul is saying in verse 5. We're in Colossians chapter 4, verse 5 says, walk in wisdom toward them that are without. Not in the flesh, but in wisdom. That's godly wisdom. Hold your place in Colossians 4. Go to Mark, Mark's gospel, and go to Mark chapter 4. It's amazing that Jesus spoke of this very thing. In Mark chapter 4, you and I have to be so careful how we act and how we talk and how we our mannerism around the lost, because we have to keep that door open of opportunity to witness to them. Mark chapter 4, look at verse 11. Jesus said unto them, unto you, beloved, it is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God. But unto them that are what? Without. All these things are done in parables. Now, that word without appears again here. When Paul says, walk in wisdom toward them that are without, Jesus says, unto them that are without, he's speaking in parables, they're talking about people who are outside of the body of Christ. They're not saved, okay? They're outside of the church. And when I say church, I'm not talking about a building. I'm talking about the bride of Christ, the true church of God. And they are without the church. We want to get them in the church. Amen? So we need to walk in wisdom toward them. Back to Colossians. Back to Colossians. Look in chapter 1. Somebody read us verse 9. 1:9.
For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding.
Amen. In chapter 1, Paul prays and the other apostles for the Colossians that they might know his will in all wisdom. He said, I'm praying for you guys to have wisdom. And we, every one of us, every day needs God's wisdom to get through a day. Because we are confronted with multiple problems. And we need God's wisdom to get through those trials and tribulations. Look at verse 28. Somebody read that one. Speaking of Jesus Christ.
Whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect to Christ.
There it is again. Paul says, teaching every man. That's Christian man. Because the lost ain't going to receive it till they get saved. So he's saying, we're teaching every believer in all wisdom. In all wisdom. That's why we have church. Amen. We're growing wise together, beloved. We're learning together. And we're gaining godly wisdom week by week as we are faithful to God's house and we hear his word. Where by his Holy Spirit, we're learning together to be wise to them, toward them that are without. Ephesians chapter 1. Somebody read us verse 17. Paul prays for the Ephesian believers for something. Verse 17.
That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him.
Oh, I like this. I like this. Paul puts his finger right on the source of this wisdom, the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory. He prays that he may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Glory to God. And he gives it as we seek it. It doesn't happen automatically, but he won't twist your arm. The Holy Spirit is a still small voice. We have to desire that from the heart. Amen? And when we do, he fills us up, boy. Praise the Lord for that. Secondly, tonight, back in not only his charge to walk in wisdom toward them that are without, but notice what we should be doing while we're walking in wisdom. Verse 5, walk in wisdom toward them that are without. What's that next word? Redeeming the time. Redeeming the time. Now, what does Paul mean when he says redeeming the time? Listen, he's saying we gave away so many opportunities to do right before we came to Jesus that now we are to live in such a way that it would appear that we were making up for lost time, buying back that lost precious days in which we lived in sin. Go to Ephesians chapter 5 and somebody read us verse 15. Ephesians 5, verse 15.
See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise.
As wise. Somebody read verse 16.
Redeeming the time because the days are evil.
Here's the reason why we need to be redeeming the time. Folks, this is 2,000 years ago that Paul wrote, the days are evil. How much more evil are they today? Wow. Somebody read verse 17. Wow, over and over and over again, we are told to be wise children of God, to walk in his wisdom, to act wisely toward the people that are outside of Christianity, that they might come to know him. So important. In 1 Peter chapter 4, 1 Peter chapter 4 speaks about the past time of our life as well. 1 Peter chapter 4, look with me at verse number 3. For the time past of our life, he's talking about before we got saved, may suffice us, that satisfy us, to have wrought the will of the Gentiles when we walked in lasciviousness, lusts, excess of wines, revelings, banquetings, abominable idolatries. We used to live that way. But, verse 4, wherein they, that's them that are without, the lost crowd we used to hang with, they think it strange that ye run not with them to the same excessive riot, speaking evil of you. You see that? They say, what happened to sister so-and-so? She don't go drinking with us no more. She don't party with us no more. Yeah, she got Jesus. Amen? Jesus changed her from the inside out. And so they speak evil of you. So we're redeeming the time. Thirdly tonight, back in Colossians 4, notice how we are to talk. Here's an important one. Verse 6. Let your speech, that's what comes out of your mouth, be always with grace, seasoned with salt. I like that. Carry a salt shaker around with you? No. What he's saying is we need to make what comes out of our mouth tasty to the ears. In other words, easy to be entreated. Now, in verse 6, we're told, look what he says there, seasoned with salt, that ye may know how ye ought to answer every man. Now, this is important, folks, because how we speak to people that don't know Jesus is going to dictate whether or not they're ever going to listen to us about anything, especially the gospel. Now, here, it's critically important for us, brethren, to use the right words when dealing with the lost soul. Spurgeon said, and I quote, "Gracious speech flows from a heart established in the grace of God. Our speech should contain the salt of righteousness." I love reading Spurgeon. He was a great commentator. A great man of God. But he said, our speech should always contain the salt of righteousness. In other words, what we say should be right, should be righteous, you know. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Watch what Paul says about it in 1 Corinthians chapter number 9. So important to use proper speech before this lost world. If we don't, they're going to tune us right out and they'll never listen to a word we say. chapter 9 of 1 Corinthians. Look with me at verse 19. Paul says, "For though I be free from all men, so are you. Yet have I made myself servant unto all." He's including the lost folks. Why? "That I might gain the more." You want to win souls? You need to make yourselves their servant. And I'm not talking about bowing down to the world. You know what Paul's saying here. He's trying to win them to Jesus. Verse 20, "And unto the Jews I became as a Jew, that I might gain the Jews. To them that are under the law, as under the law, that I might gain them that are under the law. To them that are without law, the heathen, as without law, being not without law to God, but under the law to Christ." Paul said, "I'm not under the law to Moses. I'm under the law of Christ." There's a huge difference. They're not spelt the same. "That I might gain them that are without law. To the weak became I as weak, that I might gain the weak. I am made all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. And this I do for the gospel's sake, that I might be partaker thereof with you." Paul says, "What I do for the gospel's sake, that I might gain more souls for the kingdom of God." So important, folks. Fourthly, tonight, back in Colossians chapter 4, observe Paul's threefold description of Tychicus. I love this guy, Tychicus. Look at verse 7. He issues a threefold description of this fellow. "All my states shall Tychicus declare unto you, who is a beloved brother and a faithful minister and a fellow servant in the Lord." What a commendation. I'd love to get that on my eulogy, my tombstone, if I die before the Lord comes. Amen? Listen, first he calls him a beloved brother. In Ephesians chapter 6, verse 21, Paul says, "Every true believer is a beloved brother." Glory to God. A beloved brother. You are a beloved sister or brother. Secondly, he calls him a faithful minister. Lord knows we need faithful ministers today. Amen? That will proclaim what the King James Bible says unashamedly. And not only be speaking the truth, but living it. Amen? As a godly example to the flock. Tychicus was a preacher, and he was a faithful one. Ephesians chapter 6. Look, I want to show you this quickly concerning Tychicus' faithful ministry. Ephesians chapter 6, look at verse 20. Paul says, "For which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak, but that ye also may know my affairs and how I do." Tychicus, a beloved brother, first of all, and a faithful minister, second of all. He's repeating himself. I love it. "In the Lord shall make known unto you all things." Now, go with me back to Colossians chapter 1. Somebody read verse 7.
"As he also learned of them."
Epaphras,
our dear fellow servant, who is for you a faithful minister of Christ.
Amen. Epaphras also, who, now, I'm gonna test your memory here. In week one, way back in 2013, when we started the book of Colossians, in our introduction, who did we find out Epaphras was? Epaphras was the first what at Colossae? Think. We find it in the book of Acts. Begins with a P.
I was gonna say missionary.
Yeah, missionary too, but he was the first pastor at Colossae. Epaphras was, and look what he says about Epaphras. He's a dear fellow servant, and who for you is a faithful minister. Just like Tychicus, Epaphras is also labeled a faithful minister. Now, we've got two types of ministers today. We got faithful ones, and we got, guess what? Unfaithful ones.
Greedy ones.
Guys that won't preach the gospel. You know, I know I'm thinking of a guy right now that just met with the Pope. And this guy is the biggest, quote-unquote, church in America. My question is, how many of those people going to that stadium are saved? How many of them are born again and on their way to heaven? Don't try to impress me with numbers, man. Impress me with salvation. You know, there's a difference. Now, look here. Secondly, he's called a faithful minister. Thirdly, he calls him, in Colossians chapter 4 and verse 7, a fellow servant in the Lord. See that in verse 7? A fellow servant in the Lord. Now, in Revelation chapter 19, don't turn there. Revelation chapter 19, verse 10, and Revelation chapter 22, verse 9. Twice, this angel who was giving John these great visions and revelations of what's coming in our day, John falls down before him. He's overwhelmed. He had a spiritual brain cramp, and he falls down before the angel. You know what the angel told him? The angel said, "Get up! Don't worship me, worship God. For I am of thy brethren and a fellow servant of the Lord." That's what he said. The angel said, "I'm a fellow servant." Why did I tell you that? Because you can look it up, Revelation 22:9 and Revelation 19:10. Because you are a fellow servant with angels. Same title. Isn't that good? Woo! I got angels that are fellow servants with me, folks. I love it. That's good stuff. He had a threefold commendation. Fifthly tonight, back in Colossians 4. Notice Paul's reason for sending Tychicus. Why did he send him to Colossae? For one thing, he's in the Mamertine prison, Roman dungeon, all right, under Nero. He's incarcerated. He can't go himself. So he's writing the book of Colossians, but he sends bodily Tychicus. Verse 8, "Whom I have sent unto you for this same purpose, that he might know your state and comfort your hearts." Now, a twofold reason for Paul sending Tychicus to Colossae. Very important. He says, how precious this is, beloved, to have faithful ministers who care enough about the flock to send another man of God to see how they do. And to what? Comfort their hearts. Oh, that's such good stuff. One thing I want to do to the precious members of this church, every single time we open these doors, is comfort your hearts, encourage you in the Lord, edify you in the body of Christ. Why? That's what I'm called to do. What are you called to do? Whatever you're called to do, you need to do. Amen? But this is what Paul did. He sent Tychicus because he cared so much for them that he wanted them to be comforted, and look at it, verse 8, that he might know your estate. You see, we have to take spiritual temperatures on our churches every once in a while. Make sure there's no church splits, divisions, or sects going on. That's S-E-C-T-S, you know. But what I'm saying is we need to check in, and we need to see how the beloved are doing. And Paul was concerned. Remember, in chapter 2, we saw the five isms that were attempting to creep into the church of Colossae. And Paul destroyed them all with scripture. Amen. But he wanted to make sure that they were standing in the truth. Sixthly, tonight, Colossians chapter 4. Observe who else Paul sent. Verse 9. He sent him with Onesimus. Onesimus, that name sounds familiar. They're all smiling because we went over this a few weeks ago, who this guy is, right? Onesimus, a faithful and beloved brother, who is one of you. They shall make known unto you all things which are done here. Paul was winning souls in the palace of Nero, right under his nose. I love it. Listen carefully now. Wait a minute. Who was Onesimus? Philemon. Verse 10. Go with me to Philemon. Just after Titus. Go forward. Just before Hebrews. You'll hit the little book of Philemon. Who was this guy that Paul is sending to minister to the church at Colossae? I'll tell you who he was. He was a renegade, runaway, thieving slave who got saved and God put him into ministry. Look at, I'm so glad. You don't have to be perfect. You just have to know Jesus and have a calling of God. Look, and this guy did. Look at verse 10 of Philemon. "I beseech thee for my son Onesimus, whom I have," what? "Begotten." He's born again in my bonds. He won him to Jesus. And Onesimus turned into a man of God. Oh, folks, you know what? There are so many millions and millions of cases just like Onesimus. Guys who were down in the gutter. Guys who were addicted to drugs. Guys who were alcoholic, couldn't stop drinking. And God saved them, cleaned them up, and put them in the ministry. You know it's true. That's the power of the Holy Spirit of God. And Onesimus is a shining example in Scripture of a man whose life was transformed by the gospel. Seventhly tonight, he mentions another man. Aristarchus and another man named Marcus. Look at verse 10. Aristarchus, my fellow prisoner, he's locked up with Paul, saluteth you. And Marcus, remember Marcus? I'm going to show you who he is. Sister son to Barnabas, touching whom ye received commandments, if he come unto you, Marcus, receive him. Now, why did Paul have to say that? There's a reason. The brethren weren't sure about Marcus because there was a falling out one day. You know Marcus quit on God? But Marcus got right. John Mark was his surname. Sister son to Barnabas. Let me show you that. Acts chapter 19, quickly. In Acts chapter 19, what happened here was Paul and Barnabas, the famous duo, were going everywhere, establishing New Testament churches, winning souls to Jesus Christ, and they had a young man that they were discipling for ministry named John Mark, or Marcus. Look with me in Acts chapter 19. What happened with John Mark, Marcus, is he quit on God. He went home to mama. Now, he was just a kid. My guess is about 18, 19 years old, just a kid. But he was preparing for ministry, and Paul tried to show him that if he was going to serve Jesus Christ, he needed to have his eyes forward and not back of the plowshare, right? He'd plow a crooked path. So look with me in Acts 19. And look with me in Acts 19 at verse 29. Verse 29. And the whole city was filled with confusion. And having caught Gaius and Aristarchus, there's that Aristarchus of Colossians 4:10. Men of Macedonia, Paul's companions in travel, they rushed with one accord into the theater. And when Paul would have entered into the people, the disciples suffered him not. Aristarchus was and Gaius were taken in the place of Paul. They gladly gave themselves up for the man of God, by the way. But look at chapter 20. In chapter 20 of Acts, look at verse 4. We have another fellow mentioned. There accompanied him into Asia, Sopater of Berea, and of the Thessalonians, Aristarchus, there he is again, and Secundus, and Gaius of Derbe, and Timotheus, and of Asia, Tychicus and Trophimus. Now, go with me to Acts chapter 27. Acts chapter 27. We're seeing this name, Aristarchus, popping up again and again. Notice he's accompanying Paul. He's a great help in the ministry. And look with me in chapter 27, verse 1. And when it was determined that we should sail into Italy, they delivered Paul and certain other prisoners. Guess who was with him? Aristarchus. Remember it said, he is in prison with me? Prisoners unto one Julius, a centurion of the Augustus band. And entering into a ship of Adramyttium, we launched, meaning to sail by the coast of Asia. One Aristarchus, a Macedonian of Thessalonica, being with us. He's mentioned again. Paul says, this guy, take note, he's a man of God. And he got locked up for being a preacher of the gospel with Paul. Many people don't realize that. He went to Italy with Paul and was thrown in the dungeon with him. What an honor. What an honor. Amen. Philemon. Go to Philemon. Hold your place in Acts. We're coming back for Marcus. But this is Aristarchus. In Philemon, chapter 1, look at me at verse number 24. Marcus, there he is mentioned again. Marcus, we're going to look at him in a minute. Aristarchus, Demas. By the way, Demas in verse 24, Paul is about to write his final chapter. Paul's about to be beheaded by Nero at Rome. And notice who he mentions, Demas. Remember Demas forsook Paul, having loved this present world? He got right with God, just like Marcus, he got right. And Lucas, my fellow laborers, Lucas, that's Luke, the physician there. Now, he's mentioned again here. Now, that's Aristarchus. He was faithful in the ministry with Paul. Now for Marcus, back to Acts. Acts chapter 12. It's amazing how we need the whole Bible because it all fits together like a glove. Amen? And when you see the architecture of the Bible, it is just mind-boggling how only God could have given us this book. There is no human ability to do this. In Acts chapter 12, look at verse 12. And when he, Paul, had considered the thing, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John. Notice, I love this. She's not called the mother of Jesus. No special place of preeminence. No one's told to pray to her. Says she's the mother of John. Why? Jesus made John her son, remember? At the cross. Whose name was Mark. Okay, this is the other, John Mark. And where many were gathered together praying. So this is John Mark, who is Marcus of Colossians chapter 4, verse 10. Go to chapter 12, Acts chapter 12, look at verse 25. But the word of God grew and multiplied, and Barnabas and Saul returned from Jerusalem when they had fulfilled their mission ministry and took with them John, whose surname was Mark. You can write in your margin there, Marcus, M-A-R-C-U-S. That's John Mark, Marcus, chapter 15. Let's see what happens. He's with them in chapter 12, 13, 14, chapter 15. Something happens here. In chapter 15, look with me at verse 36. And some days after, Paul said unto Barnabas, let us go again and visit our brethren in every city where we have preached the word of the Lord and see how they do. Very important. And Barnabas determined to take with them John, whose surname was Mark. That's Acts 15, 37. John, that's John Mark, Marcus. But Paul thought not good to take him, Marcus, with them. Why? It tells you right here. Who departed from them from Pamphylia. When they were back in Pamphylia, John Mark deserted them and went not with them to the work. He left ship, abandoned. Now, look with me here in verse 39. And the contention, that's between Paul and Barnabas, they were inseparable up to this point, was so sharp between them that they departed asunder one from the other. And so Barnabas took Mark, that's John Mark, and sailed unto Cyprus, and Paul chose Silas and departed, being recommended by the brethren unto the grace of God. Now, something very important you need to understand. After Acts chapter 15, verse 40, when they departed and went separate ways, Barnabas is never again mentioned in Scripture. Okay? Why? He failed to take the senior apostle Paul's advice. Now, Paul, at this point, because Marcus' heart wasn't right, he didn't have the right to go with Barnabas and Paul. Barnabas refused Paul's advice and took Marcus with him. Look what it says in verse 40. Paul chose Silas and departed, verse 39. And Barnabas took Mark and sailed into Cyprus. He took him to Greece. Okay? But at some point down the road, Marcus realized the words of Paul were correct. He humbled himself, he got right with God, and he became profitable again to the ministry. Okay. Now, it's just interesting to me how Barnabas, he didn't take Paul's advice and he's never mentioned again. But Paul, oh man, he went all the way to Nero, man, with the gospel. I mean, God used that man mightily. Okay, finally, look with me back in Colossians chapter 4. And finally tonight, we have Paul also commending Jesus, whose name is Justice. Verse 11. And Jesus, which is called Justice, who are of the circumcision, they're messianic believers on Jesus Christ. They're born-again Christians who are Jewish ethnically. Let me explain something. Many Christians don't understand this. Being Jewish is not a religion. It's like saying being Australian or being Chinese is a religion. It's not. Being Jewish is an ethnicity. Judaism is a religion. Okay? They're not spelled the same. And Jesus, which is called Justice, who are of the circumcision. They're Jewish. These only are my fellow workers unto the kingdom of God, which have been a great comfort unto me. Now, Paul commends this man, Jesus, called Justice. The Greek rendering of Joshua is what, somebody? What? Jesus. His name in Hebrew is Joshua, this justice fellow in verse 11. But in Greek, Joshua is pronounced Jesus. You'll see that in Acts chapter 7 as well. Okay? It says Jesus brought them out into the promised land. That's speaking of Joshua, not Jesus Christ. But Jesus Christ did bring them in, right? The angel of the Lord, right? Theophany. Acts chapter 18. Let's see this guy. Back in the book of Acts. Quickly, we're almost done. Acts chapter 18. This man named Justice, Jesus, Joshua. Very faithful servant with Paul in the ministry. Look in Acts chapter 18 at verse 7. And he, Paul, departed thence and entered into a certain man's house named what?
Justice,
who is Jesus, who is Joshua, one that worshiped God, whose house joined hard to the synagogue. Now here, Paul explains the gospel to him, wins him to Jesus Christ, and takes him and disciples him for ministry. Amen? The man was called. Now observe the incredible commendation that Paul gives this Justice, which is called Jesus, which is called Justice. Look what he says in Colossians chapter 4, verse number 11. Jesus, which is called Justice, who are of the circumcision, these only are my, what? Fellow what? Workers unto the kingdom of God. Now, let me ask you a question, dear one, tonight. Are you a fellow worker unto the kingdom of God? Because I'm here to tell you that there is no greater title that a human being can possess than being a fellow worker unto the kingdom of Jesus Christ. If you're saved, you're a witness for the Lord, you are a fellow worker. Paul said it this way in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 9, we are co-laborers together with God. Wow! God's holding your hand as you work for him, amen? And we're fellow workers with the Apostle Paul, with Justice, who was called Jesus, with all of the Peter, James, John, you name it, all of these great heroes of the faith, we're fellow workers with them. We're fellow workers with them. He says, he, look at it, these only are my fellow workers unto the kingdom of God, which have been a comfort unto me. Don't we comfort each other in church? As fellow workers, fellow laborers in the gospel, we comfort each other because we serve the same Heavenly Father, we love the same Savior, and we all possess the same Holy Spirit. And it's a great comfort. It's a great comfort to come together and to serve him together. All right, let's finish up. Colossians chapter 4, verse 5. Walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. Let your speech be always seasoned with grace, seasoned with salt, that ye may know how ye ought to answer every man. All my state self Tychicus, declaring to you who is a beloved brother and a faithful minister and a fellow servant in the Lord, whom I have sent unto you for this same purpose, that he might know your estate and comfort your hearts, with Onesimus, a faithful and beloved brother, who is one of you. They shall make known unto you all things which are done here. Aristarchus, my fellow prisoner, saluteth you, and Marcus, sister's son to Barnabas, touching whom ye received commandments. If he come unto you, receive him. And Jesus, which is called Justice, who are of the circumcision, these only are my fellow workers unto the kingdom of God, which have been a comfort unto me. Praise the Lord. Father in heaven, how we thank you for these verses tonight. Lord, how we thank you that in these seven verses, incredible truths are revealed, disclosed by your Holy Spirit. Lord, I'm so glad that we don't speed read the Bible. I'm so glad that we stop and shake that glorious tree and shake all that precious fruit out of its roots, Lord. Thank you for that. Every branch contains such precious treasure for us to glean. And it strengthens us, Lord, as we study verse by verse the way you designed, Holy Spirit. We thank you for these men of God, these faithful servants and women of God, Paul will mention in Romans chapter 16. Faithful workers unto the kingdom of God. Lord, that's our heart's desire in these last days, as we see the world growing darker and darker. Lord, we want to shine the light of Jesus Christ and disperse the darkness all around us. It's all we want to do. It's all we want to do is preach the gospel, see souls saved, the body of Christ edified, and Jesus our Lord glorified and exalted through our ministry. We're so thankful for it tonight, Lord. And next week as we finish up the book of Colossians, we're excited, Lord, because we're going to embark upon a new endeavor, another book of Scripture. Oh, Lord, if we had 1,000 years, and we will, we could not exhaust this book. I'm so glad, Lord, that this is just, right now, we're just getting ready for the real deal in the millennium when we'll serve you like never before. And Lord, in the meantime, we're so grateful that the Word of God, the sword of the Spirit, has the power to keep us day in, day out. And Lord, we love you for giving us the precious gift of your Word and the gift of faith and the gift of salvation and the gift of righteousness. All of the blessings that come along with the gospel of Jesus Christ. We love you and we ask you to bless us tonight in Jesus' holy name. And the people said, amen. Amen. Praise the Lord, folks.